Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I am Mark Whitman.
Yes. And this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you should be watching now, and stuff.
That's right.
Other stuff.
That's right.
So, Mark, today we're going to talk about a little bit. I don't know that we've ever spent a whole episode talking about anything TNA.
I don't think we're going to spend a whole episode now.
No, probably not.
I think we're going to do what we're thinking about doing later today. We're probably going to go on into that after we get done with
this conversation. You're probably right. But October 4th, my son Drake and I and a good friend of the show, Mike Hofer, and a couple other guys went to Bound for Glory. Not in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's more in Concord area, but the Cabarrus Arena for TNA's pinnacle of pay-per-views, Bound for Glory. I had never been to a TNA show before, and tickets were reasonable. Fourth row seats were about $35 a piece. Leading up to this show, didn't really watch TNA programming, read the results and stuff. Kind of knew what was happening. But a couple of the matches they didn't even announce till the Wednesday before. But the Friday and Saturday night they did house shows.
I'm going to put a dip in because this is going to be all you. Because
you said you had some questions.
I do have a few questions, but all I got to do is ask them. I mean, it's not a big deal. And I'm not one to comment on wrestling I hadn't watched.
I'm sure you'll have 2 cents at some point in this show.
Oh, I will. Yeah. I don't mean this as an insult to you. It wasn't a knock.
It's an insult to sophomores everywhere. Anyway.
It was just me saying I'm going to allow you to speak because you were actually there. Okay. And it's refreshing to me to hear somebody comment on wrestling when they were actually there.
Want to talk about it. The Friday and Saturday shows less than 300 people. So we're almost going thinking this is going to be a train wreck. There's not going to be anybody here. We get there. The doors haven't opened yet. Line is way back. And it is a surprising crowd. Matter of fact, I sent an arena report into the Pro Wrestling Torch. And their response to me was, hey, how many people are at this show? And I didn't know. I'm like, man, 500 to 750. I don't know. The announced attendance for the show was 1,800 people, but they said it was heavily papered, meaning, you know, they were just letting people in for free. I will tell you this. We printed off our tickets from Ticketmaster, get to the door. There's no scanning. They just ripped the UPC code off my ticket, and we get in, and Hofer looks at me. He's like, dude, we could have just printed off some stuff. Mm-hmm. And got into this thing tonight. Let me say this. You and I went to a Ring of Honor show in September or August. If Ring of Honor had the production quality of TNA, I'm talking the lights, the screens, staging.
They'd be Ring of Honor.
I mean, I'm just saying, everything that Jim Ross says about their product is true. Mm-hmm. TNA has all that, but they don't have the talent of Ring of Honor.
No, they do have the talent. I think you're wrong. I think they have talent. They don't know how to use them.
Talent. Yes,
you just have somebody running that company that doesn't know anything about wrestling,
right.
And doesn't by her out of her own mouth.
Yeah.
If people come up and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, then I start thinking they don't need to be working for me. She doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
She doesn't want people to tell her how she needs to run her company successfully.
So, as a lot of people know, TNA did this thing, a VIP package where you could go and have lunch and do all this. So, I actually got to talk to a couple guys because we got there and they had posters.
We haven't spoke at all about this, by the way.
No. That's why this is going to be great.
Yeah, that's why I haven't intentionally asked you anything about it.
No.
I wanted to talk about it on here. Please don't be thrown off by what I'm doing. I'm just going to Google the card so I can.
Oh.
So I can.
Uh-huh. A Wikipedia.
Yeah. I'm pulling.
We're reversing roles.
I have reversed roles.
I love it.
Because I don't watch TNA. I don't watch a lot of WWE. My life's too short to watch bad wrestling.
Oh, dude, you're totally right. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of your life motto.
Yeah.
Is you're not going to watch.
That is my life's motto.
Whereas mine is, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor yourself.
Mine is, I gave myself permission to do whatever I damn well pleased years ago. I wonder, I was so disappointed that you didn't respond to that because I was like, this is like, because as I'm typing it, I'm going, this is like counter to everything he believes.
Yeah. And you know what I was going to put is I was going to say, well, let me ask my wife. Yeah. So we actually see some of these guys and they had a poster. I'm like, oh, dude, who'd you get to see? Oh, and it was like, not really. It was like Jeff Hardy and I can't remember. But then the reports coming out were that the TNA wrestlers were kind of put off that here are all these fans, they're trying to get ready for the show and there's all these fans backstage.
Right. I'm sure.
How do I put this in a PC manner? Put it to you this way. If we were going to do a lineup and you had to pick out the guys that got the VIP experience, you'd be able to do it.
Yeah. I got you. I don't know the difference between a breast and a bottle of water.
All right, then. So,
a breast and a tube of acne remover.
They've never seen either one.
That's right.
I got so much I want to say about this card. One of the most entertaining things, and this is bad news for TNA, was that the Avengers were there. Four guys dressed up. One guy was Thor. One guy was the Hulk. One guy was Iron Man. One guy was Captain America. During the Kurt Angle Eric Young match, Captain America's right up there by the ring, and we're all chanting for Eric Young to use the shield. Use the shield. If you go back and watch Bound for Glory, use the shield. Use the shield. So he doesn't use it. Kurt Angle doesn't use it. But when the match is over, the guy throws his shield in the ring, and we're all thinking that guy's getting kicked out.
Right.
Somehow he gets his shield back. Nobody says anything. Well, that's the semi-main event. You get to the main event, Drew Galloway, EC3, Matt Hardy. They announce Drew Galloway, who's wrestled a lot in Japan. Two guys on the front row throw streamers when he's announced. Kicked out.
Huh.
Kicked out immediately. And then two guys sitting next to us went and got their seat. It was weird. I actually tweeted the arena. I'm like, what are you going to do when Ring of Honor comes?
Yeah.
Because that's part of the show.
Right.
I went back and watched the tape of this show.
So you bought it on pay-per-view?
I went back and watched the video of this show.
Okay.
And because it came off horribly on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I read the reports of people who weren't there,
uh-huh,
they said things like, boy, there's nobody there in that building. That building was packed.
Right.
I mean, it was full.
There's this narrative that people want to push that nobody goes to see TNA. And it is true. They make some missteps in booking places.
Now, when I had seen pictures of the two shows the night before, it's clear there's nobody there.
Right.
When you go back and watch Bound for Glory, the crowd is full,
mm-hmm,
behind. So I don't know. But the wrestling comes off bad. It was a bad indie show.
Really?
The first match was the Ultimate X match. You didn't know
who
was
going to... Now, did you get to see the John Skyler match?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my biggest pop of the night.
So he wrestled...
He wrestled...
Sean Schultz. I'm playing Heath here.
Yeah.
In the first match, but it wasn't televised.
Went about 7 minutes.
Okay. So you're now at the opening match, Tigre Uno, Manic, DJZ, and Andrew Everett, who I'm a fan of, Andrew Everett.
I had never heard of him. He wrestled at Bola.
He's Trevor Lee's partner in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. They're the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla tag champs.
Yeah. Now it all makes sense.
And if I'm not mistaken, he's with Gunner right? Andrew Everett, Gunner, and
no, that's Adam Page.
Adam Page. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's in Ring. Anyway, this match. It was a spot fest.
Obviously.
But not a lot of spots. At some point, we were on the floor. So we, fourth row, but couldn't really see a whole lot. And that played out much worse later on in the show. The match ends. Everett's walking across the wire to get the belt. And Tigre Uno's getting up there. Well, we don't know at that point he's separated his shoulder. We don't know until after the match the guy's hurt. So he's having to climb with a separated shoulder.
Wow.
He kicks Everett off. Everett takes this amazing bump, just a flat back bump off the structure. And then Tigre Uno, they have to get up there and kind of basically lower him down. What's crazy, post-match, Shane Helms comes out.
Mm-hmm.
When Shane Helms was in the WWF, he was a small guy.
Yeah.
That night he beats The Rock. Rock towers over him.
Right.
No joke, Mark. Shane Helms and Tigre Uno in the ring is like me and you standing next to each other.
Sure. I've seen Shane Helms. He's not a little guy.
He is not a little guy.
He's standing next to The Rock, I'm a little guy. Let's be honest.
I think you're selling yourself a little
short. No, I'm not.
But height,
I ain't never
height-wise, you'd be looking him.
Right. But I mean, as far as his physique, I mean, there's nobody in the country going to stand next to that guy and not look like a punk.
Well, yeah.
Except for you, of course. I mean, you would punk him out any day.
Jackie's jaw earnest. So that was a weird, like, we were like, what's Shane Helms going to do? And he teases that he's going to attack him or whatever. It was just, the whole night was just weird, because it was supposed to be WrestleMania, mm-hmm. and it felt like a house show.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope had teased this thing about, hey, we're going to get our third announced person, and it was supposed to be a big announcement. Nothing ever came of that. If you were there live, there was so much happening you didn't even know about. They come out, I guess, the Gauntlet match was next.
That is Tyrus. Defeated Abyss, Aiden O'Shea, Al Snow, Chris Melendez, D'Angelo De Niro, Eli Drake, Jesse Godders, Mahadili Shabar, Mr. Anderson, Robbie E., and Tommy Dreamer. I heard, hey, there were some big-time legends in this match is what I had heard.
Who told you that?
I read it somewhere. Oh, and having the legends included in it was, I mean.
So, if you didn't know, and we didn't know, a gauntlet match in TNA is a Royal Rumble match. So it starts out, it's Mr. Anderson and Jesse Godders, Mr. Pectacular. And they do a couple of spots. And I'm going to tell you somebody else who's a big guy is Ken Anderson.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
There again, he's big compared to the,
right,
you know, the smaller guy.
The thing that happened with this match is, so the first person that comes in, they did a countdown, 10, 9, 8, and then the music hits and the person comes in. Well, at one point, the countdown happens and it throws up Robbie E's name and Al Snow came out.
Yeah.
So Al Snow, one of the legends. And then sometimes they would do – sometimes the – the span of time was a minute. I'm spending way too much time talking about a match that sucked.
Yeah.
I want to
your gimmick, though.
I want to get across to you how painful it was to watch. We would just random start out 10, our row started 10, 9, and the whole crowd would be doing it. And then nobody would come out. So then the guy comes out from India. I don't know his name. I can't pronounce his name. He's a big guy. He's an impressive looking guy.
I'm guessing Mahadabali Shira.
Sure.
Mahadabali.
Mahadabahadahi Shira.
I'm not making fun of people.
I'm not making fun of his name. I'm trying to pronounce it. But he comes out and they do a spot where he's doing like the little snake charming thing. And the time that I did pop in this match, Abyss comes to the ring. Boy,
You popped for Abyss?
No. Abyss comes to the ring, and him and Tyrus start clearing out. and Abyss and Tyrus get face to face in the
ring. Tyrus is
Funkasaurus.
The Funkasaurus, right? Yeah.
They get face to face in the ring. And I stood up and said, if you people chant "this is awesome," I will kill you all. Because we've talked about that before.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Mulligan.
Figuratively speaking. But it was that moment where it's like, oh, two big guys are going to stare each other down. And we've been waiting for this moment. I'm like, no,
I hate a "this is awesome" chant when people are looking at each other.
Yes. So then Pope jumps in. He's the next contender. And he looks at them and they look at him and he jumps back over the rope. Just a complete waste of time. The whole match was a complete waste.
Your description of time of the whole match is a complete waste of time.
I apologize. Tyrus wins.
Can I get to a match that I'm guessing was probably pretty good?
Okay.
The tag title match, the American Wolves, or the Wolves versus Trevor Lee and Brian Myers. I'm guessing that was a pretty decent match.
Not live.
Really?
Not live. Because
we saw the Wolves have a match, and we've seen Trevor Lee live, and they're good. I'm really surprised that was
because good. By the time we got to that match, what was the spot? There was a spot they did. There were just several spots that had been done so many times already that night.
Right.
So by the time we got to that match.
That is the problem with Spot Fest Wrestling.
Right. So we're big, you know, I'm a big fan of Trevor Lee. Live, the match came off fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't see any big botches in this match. Whatever. The match came off fine. It was a serviceable match.
It was what it was.
But the reviewer was like, boy, Trevor Lee, man, he's terrible. Da-da-da-da-da. And he can't do this and can't do that. And I'm like. And some of it was because some of that stuff is Trevor Lee's. He walks different. He does. He moves differently in the ring on purpose. And I did pop at the end of that because the Wolves won with Chasing the Dragon. And I popped and said, you can't do that. Is it bad that I'm popping for all the wrong reasons?
That's what you get when you put on bad wrestling.
Right.
Bobby Roode and DeLashley, I heard, and I think it was from you on the Pro Wrestling Torch when you sent your arena report that was the match of the night.
Yes.
Is that correct? And I've heard that not just from your stellar reporting that there again made the Pro Wrestling Torch website. Several people have said it was a really good match.
So we took a bathroom break thinking it was going to be the knockouts match. So Drake and I get in the bathroom. As soon as we're walking in the bathroom, I hear Bobby Lashley coming out. So I'm like, Drake,
Pinch it off. We got to go.
But then he wanted.
Did he turn around and go, I can't pinch it off?
No. But I stood outside the bathroom and waited on him. Well, when he came out, they were still doing introductions, and we went and got something to eat. And I said, son, I can't miss this match. I don't want to go. So we actually sat. There were, like, seats in the upper part.
Uh-huh.
We sat down and ate.
You chose one of the empty seats in the arena.
But it was empty because it was right in front of a camera.
Oh, I got you.
It was right in front of a camera stand, and so they probably didn't sell tickets for that row.
Oh, I got you.
But we sat there.
No, I'm not calling you. I'm saying there were empty seats for you to sit in.
Yes. I thought it was a good match. The crowd wasn't into it, and I think that part of the arena report was right because who do you cheer for, okay? Mm-hmm. And they did the predictable spot, but they did it well where they did each other. They would do a high impact move and then they did each other's finishers. It was what it was. It was a good. It's sad that I consider that the best match of the night because I've seen it. It was a good match.
Right.
Nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Nothing to write home about either.
Gotcha.
So when I say that's the match,
it's a good wrestling match.
Right. When I say that was the match of the night. Don't buy the DVD, gotcha. You know.
How about Gail Kim and Awesome Kong? Because I've heard that Awesome Kong's not as good as she used to be. That these guys, I remember watching their matches. When you talking about good women's wrestling, when they first had their first little feud together, those were great matches.
This match was terrible.
That's what I heard.
Awesome Kong, apparently she's got a back injury.
Mm-hmm.
She can barely move. She had to do a couple of things where she had to get up on the second rope. And just the way she had to get up on the second rope looked awkward and painful.
Right.
They involved Gail Kim's husband, Robert Irvine, in the match. that was on the opposite side of us, and all we could see was him yelling at Hebner, who got inducted to the Hall of Fame in like a 2-minute deal, like right before this. I don't know if you know this, man. Billy Corgan said he's the best ref of all time.
Yeah, I hear you. Not Tommy Young, Earl Hebner.
Earl Hebner.
I mean, Earl Hebner's been involved in a lot of. I'm not knocking him as a ref, but I'm. If I gotta, I mean, I'm just a thing of Hall of Fames. You gotta put. First of all, you don't get to have a Hall of Fame when you suck and you've only been in business.
Yeah, I did get his autograph.
But to, you put a referee in your Hall of Fame, it says something about your roster.
True. And when everybody in your Hall of Fame got their start elsewhere
and doesn't work there anymore.
That's cold, Mark. That's cold. So I'm thinking Earl Hebner will be at Survivor Series.
Must be on his way.
What if Earl Hebner was at Survivor Series?
Yeah, that'd be cool. I don't think he will. You know why they're gone, right? You know why they're gone from WWE? They didn't leave. They apparently own a I don't want to speak out of turn and tell something that's not true, but this is my understanding of the story. And if I'm wrong, then I apologize to them. Basically, what I understand, the reason that they were let go, Dave and Earl, they also own like a furniture store or something somewhere together, and they were swiping like memorabilia from WWE events and selling it in their stores. Like, you know, you talk about WrestleMania, you get the chairs.
Yeah.
The people that didn't take their chairs home, they were going around and gathering that kind of stuff up and say, you know, and they were, I don't know that they were getting people's gear and stuff. I don't think it was that.
Well, they're not going to make any money with TNA merchandise.
No, but they got caught doing it.
Look, can we talk about merchandise real quick? Because the Gail Kim Kong match, terrible. Just that you couldn't really see I went back and watched the ending of it on video. It was terrible. Let's talk about the TNA merchandise. Okay. You and I, we just went to a Ring of Honor show. Mm-hmm. Great selection of merchandise.
Right.
I bought a shirt.
I bought some DVDs.
They had no DVDs. Maybe a couple of. They had like a Sting DVD for sale. The T-shirts they had, Mark. It was like I said to Hofer. I can't say. I basically said, dude. I think I really appreciate and respect what TNA is doing. He said, what are you talking about? I'm like, the fact that they're going to let the ninth grade art class at the local high school design their T-shirts.
Right.
I think that just shows a lot of heart and caring. Mm-hmm. Their T-shirts. My son is 8. I said, son, do you see a shirt you want? He said, dad.
I'd be embarrassed to wear. Dad, okay, rather than get one of these shirts, can we stop at the Family Dollar and get me a couple of shirts on the way
he
home?
He basically said, no. He did want to buy, you know, the Jeff Hardy things that go up your wrist.
Oh, Lord.
He's 8.
Did you get them for him?
They were orange, Clemson color. So, yes. And they were like $5. So, he's 8.
I quit.
This is the same son who made me buy him a Jeff Hardy slap bracelet at a wrestling show. Anyway, but he wants to be,
why the kids like Jeff Hardy.
He wants to be, well, he didn't care about Jeff Hardy. He wants to be a tiger vampire for Halloween. He's like, Dad, that would be great with my costume.
A tiger
vampire? It had nothing to do with wrestling.
Oh, that's cool. I'm just kidding. If he likes Jeff Hardy, I don't see anything wrong with that.
People were buying the merch. People were buying the merchandise, but I didn't see people wearing the merchandise. Like, I saw Ring of Honor shirts and WWE shirts.
And people and, buy
and
the
Bullet
shirt,
Club shirts.
Buy the shirt and then change into it at other shows.
Yeah.
Like you.
But it was, yes.
You will buy a shirt and change into that thing.
Boy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But even, so most of the people at this show were just wrestling fans. They had no interest in TNA.
Right, there was a wrestling show and they went.
But they were old school fans because John Schuyler, who's from North Carolina, and got a pop from some people. Most of the crowd was chanting, "We don't know you," which shows me.
Well, they don't follow.
They don't follow wrestling.
Or they don't follow indie wrestling.
So Kurt Angle and Eric Young.
Okay.
This match gets announced. So first of all the videos they played pre-match, we can't hear them. We can see them, but we can't hear them. Christy Hemme, in announcing the match, says, this is going to be a no disqualification match, da-da-da-da-da. Well, then Eric Young cuts a promo on Kurt Angle.
The storyline, like Eric Young's trying to end Kurt Angle's career.
Right. Kurt Angle had to have something removed from his neck, and then he had complications from it, and Eric Young's trying to hurt him. And so Eric Young cuts the promo. Angle gets the mic. Now, this match has already been announced as no DQ. And Angle says, I just talked to Dixie Carter, and she's agreed to make this. We're not having a wrestling match. This is going to be a no DQ match. Really so anticlimactic. And let me say this. I'd never seen Kurt Angle wrestle live. And I almost wish I hadn't.
Really? Well, you're not getting like in his prime Kurt Angle.
Listen, the man. You know how when you see somebody and you know something's not right? His neck injuries are well documented.
Right.
Most of the time with your neck injury, what it does is, in the case of Arn Anderson, cause nerve damage there in his left hand, where, you know, he really lost the use of his left hand. And a lot of wrestlers, you know, a lot of wrestlers will have problems with their hands because they've had neck injuries and they've got nerve damage. It is so apparent to me, Kurt Angle has absolutely no muscle definition in his arms.
Really?
I have bigger arms than Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
It may not come across like that on TV. It is just sad to see.
Right. And that's why WWE, if there's this idea that Kurt Angle is going to make this big return, it's not going to happen.
No. Listen,
they may bring him back in the fold when things are over with to put him in their Hall of Fame. But I don't know. You got to remember, at this point, he's been in TNA longer than he was in WWE.
Very true. If they're keeping Daniel Bryan out because of concussion concerns, Kurt Angle's just never. At one point in the match, Eric Young does something, and the doctors come down. And again, that's on the other side of the ring where we can't see. Doctors come down, and I didn't know this until I got home and read the report that the doctor stopped the match. We can't see any of this. That the doctor stands up, waves the match off. All we see is Brian Hebner keep pushing Eric Young back. Brian Hebner does not throw up an X. He doesn't call for the bell. But from what you see on TV, the match is called. The match is over. And Brian Hebner's just asking. So then Eric Young does. So then we're all like, oh, man, we've never seen the guy get carried out by the paramedics and then them get jumped. I mean, it was just all like, golly, how many times have we seen this? It was just a bad. Eric Young's great. Eric Young was he carried. Eric Young carried the match with Kurt Angle. I think it was maybe a 12 to 15 minute match, and 8 of that was stalling, or it was just sad to see. It was really a downer. And at one point, Eric Young, he elbowed Kurt Angle. The crowd was cheering for Eric Young to hurt Kurt Angle.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, they were cheering. Like, Eric Young gave him a pile driver, and we were all like, one more time. Man, you can hear that on the, you know, and I don't understand that.
You were part of it.
I was part of it.
But you don't know why you became a part of it?
I think we were just all like
crowd mentality.
I don't like. We were just all so sick of it at that point. Like, we were ready for it to be over. Like, it was like nobody was happy to be watching that match.
Right.
It's all like, man, we're being forced to watch this. Right. You know. Then we get to
the main event.
The main event, the triple threat match, which was just made a triple threat match a couple of nights right before. And then I guess there was a backstage interview, and they're talking about it's no DQ and no. So we're in the live ring. We have no idea it's no DQ. We have no idea what's going on. So late in the match, EC3 gets a chair. He kicks Drew Galloway in the nuts, and he's trying to get DQ'd. And him and Hardy are talking, and we have no idea what they're saying. And he gets a chair. He gets a padded chair, one.
Right.
And Jeff Hardy gets it away from him, and teases hitting Matt, and then he hits EC3. And Matt Hardy wins the belt, and his whole family comes in there. And then his dad comes in the ring. And his dad, I don't know how they got him in the ring or out of the ring because he was in rough shape. And when the show went off there, they said, hey, our dad wants to say something. They went and got the mic, and it was pretty – I have no idea what he said. I just took that it was fairly sexist and offensive. It was just like if they gave me
– Ladies and gentlemen, our father.
If we –
like if you in the middle of your church service gave me the microphone and I came out and said something
– it'd be like, I remember my grand.
Tell them what you think about the church and Republicans.
But I think you'd be equally as hard on Democrats.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I remember one time my grandfather stood up before he passed away. He stood up here in church to say something, and it was just like, oh dear. That's what it was like.
I got
it. Just, you know.
Kind of outdated mentality.
And I think I've got it on my phone. Maybe we'll play it back. But you could, again, anything that was said over the microphone by anybody, you couldn't really hear in the arena. Jeremy Burash, you could hear all right. But it was a bucket list thing to go to a, that's not even right.
You like that term, bucket list.
I'm sorry.
You've
say
never
that
even heard it until the movie come out. Right.
No. They got that from me. It actually, Mark, a lot of people don't know this. It's actually called a waste bucket list because most people, when they would write the list, deemed it impossible. They'd throw it in the waste bucket. And so they tried. I'm totally making that up anyway.
You should have went with it because I was about to say, really?
So, Monday, you know, EC3 cuts the promo. Matt Hardy vacates the title. And then they're going to do the World Title Series. 32 superstars, 8 groups of 4. Bringing back the old Bound for Glory series and the point system.
This is the most convoluted thing.
Yes.
Because they don't have the ability to pull it off well.
Number one, they don't have 32 wrestlers on their roster.
Right.
The knockouts are included in – there's 4 knockouts in this tournament. So sooner or later, you're going to have a male versus female one-on-one match.
Right.
I would say 4 to 8 of the people in the tournament in this series are not even with the company anymore.
Uh-huh.
None of these matches were shot with the intent of it being part of a world title series. So the Wednesday night after – October 7th, this show, I watched that show. There's a match between Braum, who is suspended and not coming back.
I hope not.
He wrestles Drew Galloway. They do a pre-match-like press conference. No mention of, hey, that we're fighting for a world title shot. Drew Galloway afterwards basically says the same thing he said before the match. Like, hey, we're 2 big guys and we're going to bring out the best in each other. Makes no mention of, hey, I'm one step closer to a world title shot.
Right.
None of that. So heavily edited post-production. It was terrible, terrible, terrible to see. The people watching these matches back in July when they were filmed have no idea they're watching a match that's part of a world title series.
Right.
It is the...
Probably because the people in TNA didn't realize that.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So I have no idea why they did what they did. Because the question, we're at a TNA pay-per-view, and I'm asking everybody, what are they putting on TV Wednesday night? Mm-hmm. And we're like, I don't know. I said, they've taped. They've shown all the stuff they taped. And I guess these were just random matches they taped. you know, during their TV tapings. They canceled. They had a tour Halloween weekend. They were going to tape a one night only pay per view. They've canceled that whole tour and given people. So who knows what's going on? But like, I've seen. Okay, you're telling me all these guys are in your tournament. They're not even with your company anymore. I went to your pay per view. I have no idea what's going on. It makes no sense. I don't believe you. I don't care. I'm done.
Okay. That answers, I think, my question. How do you feel as a consumer after paying your money and investing your time and seeing what, by all accounts, was a fairly emotional win for Matt Hardy
finally winning the thing?
And I've heard that from a lot of people, that it was a cool moment to then have him the very next day relinquish the title and start all over again. How does that make you feel as somebody who spent your money on that company?
Done. Because they just insulted my intelligence for the last time. But what was odd to me is seeing people on Facebook when Matt Hardy won, their reaction totally opposite. It's like, well, that makes no sense. They should have gave it to Drew Galloway. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. But you got to understand, part of that storyline was we're in North Carolina. And I would say, like, Matt Hardy won that the belt because we were in North Carolina and the crowd went nuts for it. It was a great moment. The match was terrible, but like for me personally, okay, it was worth it. I saw as small, maybe historic with a small H, I got to see Matt Hardy's first world title win in front of his friends and family in his home, you know, his home state. It was special. It was great. The crowd reacted very positive, you know, very positive to it. But then it's like you said, the next day they do that whole angle, and Matt Hardy is in, there's a group of four tag team specialists, which is Bobby Roode, Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards, and Matt Hardy. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea. So one of the other matches in this title series was the Knockouts match. This is after Bound for Glory that it's aired. Gail Kim and Brooke Tessmacher. Uh-huh. Gail Kim.
Brooke Tessmacher, the ultimate butterface.
Doesn't have the belt. She's the Knockouts champion. She doesn't come to the ring with the belt, and she loses the match. Like nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense
about that company. That's why I don't watch it.
And again, the only reason I invested the time is like, okay, if we did not do well, would I have gone to this show if we didn't do a podcast? I don't know. I don't know. I'm glad I went. I'm glad I took my son. We had a good time together.
And I would have went for the. I would have gone.
Absolutely.
Regardless. I had to work. I couldn't get off from work.
But the only reason that I know everything I know, and we're talking about it now, is because I knew we would be talking about it now.
Right.
And so, if you've got other questions, I'll be happy to answer them. But I really don't.
That was it. My biggest question that I had was about the Matt Hardy relinquishing the title the next day. And
yeah, that was a kick in the gut.
Yeah.
That was a just like, what are you doing? And if you are, you know, there are some people, you're TNA apologist or whatever, you don't have to do it. You don't have to. You can let it go.
Right.
Some people are holding out for the GFW, and if you just, you know, GFW released kind of their opening for their show, they're using a six-sided ring. It looks very much like a TNA production.
It is. I mean, it's what do you, so what I don't do you expect from the guy who founded TNA?
Right.
I mean,
so
if you want to, I don't need to see what Jeff Jarrett's going to do with a wrestling promotion, because I saw what Jeff Jarrett would do if he ran a wrestling promotion.
Right. Right.
I've already seen
how it. Long before Jeff Jarrett's the GFW champion?
Oh, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
They've got 20 wrestlers and 5 titles. At their next taping, they're taping the finals to all of their title tournaments, which none of them have been aired. They've done like 2 big TV tapings. They've got all these tapings aired, and they're getting ready to do the finals. Nothing's been on TV yet. We don't know when or where it's going to be on TV. It's just like,
Well, it should be spectacular.
It should be.
I would say the G1 Climax tournament has nothing on what we're fixing to, or what you're fixing to worry about, and I'm fixing to not care anything about.
Well, I'm not worried about it. Matter of fact, you mentioned G1 Climax. Have you heard about they're doing a junior heavyweight tag team tournament, and that's going to be like leading up to the next New Japan pay-per-view.
No, I haven't heard that.
And the next New Japan pay-per-view, I guess you can get it on New Japan World, and it'll have English commentary.
Really? So they're trying to start going for that English market then.
And they've decided, we don't need Jeff Jarrett to do this. We'll just do it on our own. And it's Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor and Matt Stryker who are doing the thing. And apparently the last paper, they just did a pay-per-view, I guess, this week. And it was a spectacular.
Of course it was.
It was, yes.
It's New Japan. I mean, I don't ever hear anybody going, boy, that New Japan show, that was a big letdown.
So I think
I've never read that complaint anyway.
So I think it's only fitting that we end a show about TNA talking about New Japan wrestling.
That's right. That's right.
Always good wrestling. Now, neither, we've talked about subscribing to New Japan World.
Mm-hmm.
But, we don't speak Japanese.
Hey, if they're getting to the point where they're catering to the English crowd, then it won't be long before they're trying to get themselves a Roku channel. Like, I mean,
right.
And once they do, I'll be signing up.
Yeah.
Because I'll definitely watch their show every week.
So, memo to TNA.
I won't watch your show for free.
Memo to GFW.
I won't watch your show for free. But I will pay to watch New Japan.
Yeah, pay to watch New Japan and stay up till 3 in the morning to watch it.
Well, it's on demand, so I don't have to stay up till 3 in the morning.
I'm talking about, Wrestle Kingdom. I got up early Sunday morning and watched it.
I didn't. I just...
I didn't get up and watch it live. I got up. I was like, man, I got to get up early for church.
Like, it's like 7:30 and I don't have anything to do for 3 hours. That's like, that's what happened.
I got up about 5.
Okay. What time do you normally get up, just out of curiosity?
7.
Well, you got up a little early that day.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad you approve of my lifestyle.
Then you watched a little wrestling. You went to work for an hour. Then you came back home and watched some more wrestling.
Listen, a wise man once said this, that life is too short to watch bad wrestling.
Sounds like he knew what he was talking about.
Listen, sometimes because we care about wrestling fans, sometimes Mark and I have to watch bad wrestling.
I don't.
I went to bad wrestling for you, the fans. Didn't do it for me. Did it for you.
You did it for you.
I did it for them. And the least you folks can do is click on a banner.
That's right.
Click on a banner. We've been talking about bad wrestling. I'm going to put you a good high spots, maybe a New Japan show up there above this episode. You can click on that banner. You can support our show. Listen, you get this show for free. We don't charge you a subscription. We don't charge you a tariff. We don't charge you anything. This is good, wholesome, family entertainment that will broaden your mind. This show, listen, 7 out of 10 doctors agree, listening to this show make you smarter.
Mm-hmm, I believe it.
I've talked to them, and I've played a doctor on television before. But listen, we don't want this to be a one-way conversation. We want it to go both ways. So,
just like Heath.
So join us on Facebook. You can find us, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. That's our group where we talk about all kinds of wrestling. Go to the Double Dropkick Show page. Click the like button. Go on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Download. Give us a 5-star rating and review. And we're also on Twitter. Everybody's on Twitter. You can find me at Heath Mulliken.
Oh, and you can find me at the DDK Show.
And if you go to a wrestling show, like our good friend Justin Donahue, He's been to wrestling shows, tweets us about him, asks, you know, he got to see Gangrel the other night, and that was great. Who's becoming one of my favorite wrestlers just because his last name's Heath. Gangrel, yeah, Heath. So that's what we want to know. Show us, tell us the wrestling you like. Tell us the wrestling you're going to, because if there's good wrestling out there, we want to know about it. We want to watch it. We want to tell other people about it. So right now, that's not TNA. That's not on Destination America Wednesday nights.
No. It's not on USA on Monday nights.
No, it is not. So, yeah, I guess that's really all we have to say. Life's too short to watch bad wrestling. And as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And far be it from Heath to steal my line and pass it off as his own. I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.